Our scripture reading for today comes from the very first book in the Bible, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And it's the same scripture in every translation, it's just a different way of looking at it sometimes, and sometimes the words are much more current than other times. I'm reading to you from the pew in your Bible, the New International Version of the Holy Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the ground." So endeth this reading from his word.
The story goes that a young couple moved into a new neighborhood. The next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman watched her neighbor hanging her wash outside. "That laundry's not very clean," she said. "She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry detergent." Her husband looked on but remained silent. As the days passed, every time her neighbor would hang her wash to dry, the woman was surprised. The young woman would make the same comments. "Her wash is not very clean." Then about a month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice clean wash on her neighbor's line, and she said to her husband, "Look, she finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this." Her husband replied, "I got up early this morning and washed our windows." We all know what it's like to try to read something or even operate our vehicle when the lenses of our glasses are dirty or fogged up. In order for us to be able to see and do things correctly, our lenses need to be clean. They need to be clear. And in much the same way, for us to be able to understand and discern the truth of any matter, we need to develop a clear spiritual lens. Many of us are naturally compassionate people. Many of us have strong opinions. Many of us view life through our pain. We all view life through our personalities, our past experiences, and through perceptions that have been ingrained in us since childhood. Therefore, it can sometimes be hard for us to critically evaluate the social and spiritual issues that are influencing our lives and the lives of our children and our grandchildren. And because of personal persuasions, it can be equally hard for us to talk about these issues with one another. The way I see it, dealing with these issues is not a matter of being right or wrong. There are always convincing arguments on both sides. Rather, it's a matter of discerning God's heart. Unfortunately, many of today's crucial issues have been politicized. It simply boggles my mind that the outcome of the upcoming presidential election will be heavily influenced by the abortion issue. But whatever you may think about this issue, In matters such as this, we should not be focusing on what the political right or the political left has to say about anything. But we should rather be trying to discern what God has to say, what he has to say about anything. God's word has all the answers we need to live lives that are pleasing to him and that contribute to the bringing forth of his kingdom here on earth, even as it is in heaven. We in America pride ourselves on being free. However, in reality, because we are often ignorant of God's word and God's ways, we can actually be enslaved by false ideologies. As a nation, we have become no different from the ancient Israelites who turned from worshiping God to following the false gods of the pagan cultures around them. Therefore, in order for us to be able to live lives that are not only pleasing to God, but are being used by him to bring about his purposes for his creation, to usher in his kingdom, we have to know God's heart. We've seen in our scripture reading from Genesis that we were created by God to steward his creation, to act as his agents on planet Earth. But for us to be able to do that to his satisfaction, for us to live out his creative mandate, we need to know what he wants for his world. We have to know what he is telling us in his word. We need to be developing and living out a biblical worldview. And scripture even tells us how we can do that. Romans 12:2, the Passion Translation, exhorts us to stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Jesus said, "Keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible." Or in a more familiar translation, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Even as the Israelites of old, Christians are mandated to reveal to the world who God is. And we can't do that if we don't know and understand his heart. That is why we need to have and to live through a view of the world as discerned from Scripture. And if we don't have a biblical worldview, just what would our worldview be? A couple of years ago, we did a church-wide study on a book entitled Faithfully Different. The book unpacked in great length and depth the implications of having a biblical worldview versus having a secular worldview. I'd like to quote here a couple of their statements. The secular view of God and man boils down to the idea that we're free to be who we want to be and do what we want to do because there's no higher than human authority who's given us specific information about or direction for our lives. The book further states, the Bible says that God exists, that he created all people and things, and that he has expressed his will and purposes in Scripture. He's our ultimate authority. Secularism says there may or may not be a God, but if there is one, he's content to leave us to the authority of ourselves. The Bible says humankind is uniquely valuable, made for a purpose in the image of God, and accountable to God. Secularism says man is one living product of many that happened to develop through the blind, undirected process of evolution, and we answer to no one but ourselves. The Bible says that God is a moral lawgiver, with his character being the objective standard of goodness. Secularism says, or at least functions as though, right and wrong are determined by popular consensus. The reason the world is in the predicament it has always been in harkens back to the beginning of time to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when the serpent tempted them, saying, "You will not surely die if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Because Adam and Eve turned from God and believed the serpent, sin entered God's world. And ever since then, mankind has struggled with the temptation to be like God, to ignore God, or to play God. And unfortunately, it's a trait that most of us struggle with at one time or another, in one form or another. That trait is basically known as independence or self-reliance. We'd like to think that we are in charge of our lives. We'd like to think that we know what's best in any given circumstance. We'd like to think that we can do it on our own. And sometimes this human trait of independence can unknowingly lead us into rebellion against God. Now, before we go any further, let us not confuse our ingrained tendency to be independent from God with our desire and need to be independent from any encroaching tyranny that would prevent us from enjoying and living out our relationship with God as we feel led and becoming his vessels of bringing the gospel into all the world as we've been mandated to do. That form of independence called freedom is crucial to God's being able to work in his world. As I found in some Genesis text notes, within the realm of his visible creation, God places a creature capable of acting as his agent in relationship to other creatures to represent God's claim to kingship over his creation and to bring its full potential to realization, to the praise of the Creator's glory. Even though we were told to subdue the earth, we were supposed to do it in conjunction with the will of God and under his guidance. As we approach this issue, this election, there are many issues that are on the ballot that will be resolved in the way that we vote. And there are many ways of looking at each one. First of all, it is important that we realize that our culture has become largely anti-Christian, and deliberately so. We are in a cosmic spiritual battle, and we need to understand that there is a spirit of deception that is running rampant in our nation, indeed, throughout the whole world. There are so many lies circulating on all sides that it is imperative that we do everything we can to discern God's truth of things. As Christians, we are told to follow Jesus, and Jesus had compassion for people. However, as we follow Jesus, our compassion must be bounded by knowledge of the true facts surrounding a situation. For often, our compassion can be unduly influenced by the information we're receiving, no matter the source. And sometimes our human mind is being given information that overrides biblical truth. Our compassion ends up being emotional rather than spiritually grounded. With this in mind, realizing that I'm taking a great risk here, I'd like to address the abortion issue. It's a third rail, I know. We'd rather not talk about it, I know. But please, hear me out. There are many facets of this issue that we could discuss, but I would like to focus on one this morning, and that is our human autonomy. In his sermon a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Peter talked about the fact that holiness basically equals our yielding the authority of our lives over to God. And this is where the issue of our independence comes in in relation to the abortion issue. I have found it very troubling to listen to the strident voices proclaiming that women have a right not to be told what to do with their bodies, and that abortion is a basic human right that is being touted as health care for women. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Now, of course, women have a right to autonomy over their bodies. That goes without saying. But the implications here go far deeper than that. Than that particular issue, for we're not talking about one life, but two. There is also a pervasive lie that many have believed that a baby is not a human being until it has been born, that it's only tissue and cells. Scripture informs us otherwise. Psalm 139 tells us, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And in Jeremiah 1, we read, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." This tells me that a human life is spiritually viable the moment it is created, that God has created it. It has been said that a human life, that when a human sperm comes together with an egg, an eternal soul is created. And I believe that affirmation to be verified by these scriptures. Scientists have also actually observed that a flash of light occurs at the moment of conception when a new life is created in the image and likeness of God. So, if a human life is an act of divine as well as biological creation, who are we to decide whether or not it will be allowed to live? Now, I've always been a very independent person, no surprise to many of you here. And when I was in my 20s and 30s, I would have been on the front line as a pro-choice advocate. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. I was my own boss. But then I met Jesus, and my outlook began to change. One scripture in particular speaks to that outlook. It's found in 1 Corinthians 6. 19 and 20, where the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price." Now, I realize that this scripture is being addressed to believers. Nevertheless, Jesus died for everyone. God loves everyone and wants to reconcile them all to himself. And whatever he speaks to his people, he desires for everyone. When you deeply consider the implications of that scripture, you have to reconsider anything you may have formerly believed about your right to yourself and your own autonomy. If God's only Son died on the cross to save our souls, to save us from our sins, how can we ever even think of living life our way? How can we insist on our right to ourselves? How can we rely on our own strength and understanding? I particularly like the way the Passion Translation translates this verse. "Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, Use your body to bring glory to God. Now, all that being said, the reality is that many women find themselves bearing an unwanted child for whatever reason. For some, it's a matter of financial survival or life-defining choices. For some, it's mere inconvenience. Whatever the case may be, I believe that a huge problem that we're facing in dealing with this issue is that in striving to protect the life of the unborn, often the needs and challenges of the mothers have been ignored. As I said before, we're dealing with two lives. So the issue isn't only about saving the baby's life, crucial as that is. It's about caring for the needs of the mother also. We were created for God. In Him we live and move and have our being. The dearly loved scripture, John 3:16 and 17, tells us in Passion Translation, "For here is the way God loved the world. He gave His only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in Him will never perish, but experience everlasting life." God did not send His Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescue it. If God loves the world, that is, everyone He has created, born and unborn, if He is about rescuing every part of His creation, what does that mean for us? As God's people, how do we respond to this very difficult issue? I submit that we respond by becoming aware of and supporting ministries around us that are devoted to caring for the mothers who find themselves pregnant and are in desperate need of help. Bethesda House in Pembroke is one such facility. And I found this on the web concerning their program. Pregnant, parenting a baby, leaving a relationship and have nowhere to go, not getting the family support you need, needing a safe home, frightened by an unplanned pregnancy. We're not all ready for those two pink lines. Not all of us have the support we need to help us take care of our babies. That's why Bethesda House is here, to offer a loving home, practical support, and an education/job track to give you and your baby the best chances at a great life. Then there is a national ministry called CareNet that partners with churches to share the gospel of Christ and to come alongside those in need of help and resources, single women and families, for an unplanned pregnancy. Abortion is not the answer to an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy. Compassionate options are. Now, that being said, it is also crucial for us to understand that those who have undergone abortions can always go to Jesus for forgiveness, and He will never, never condemn or reject them. And neither should we. We recall His gentle words to the woman caught in adultery, "Go and sin no more." And this is just one of the many issues facing us as we go to the polls this November. I would like to invite you to set aside previous and present beliefs about the different issues that we're facing and to search the scriptures to seek out God's heart on these matters. If you would like some help and direction, I invite you to join us Friday afternoons at 3:00 here in the parish hall as we work with a ministry called My Faith Votes to explore these issues from a biblical perspective. If you're unable to make it at that time, you can also go on their website, sign up, and work through the 6 sessions on your own. They're not that long. The site is myfaithvotes.org, and there is, I hope, a handout in your bulletin that will give you that information. As Christians, it is vital that we discern for ourselves what God's word has to say, to engage with it prayerfully, and then to have the courage to engage with others to proclaim it. How will others know God's truth if it's not proclaimed? And we will only know God's truth if we read his word and interact with that word in prayer. Praying about difficult issues will help us to discern God's heart and give us his perspective. As a nation, we have turned away from God, and we are reaping the consequences. If it is a spiritual battle, and it's one that will only be won by concerted prayer and biblical understanding on behalf of God's people. But we need to pray with an open heart. Let go of preconceived ideas. Pray with an open heart. For praying with a closed heart means we will be unable to effectively hear what God has to reveal to us. And we must always, always remember, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we repent of all the times when we've attempted to go our own way in life, when we've attempted to figure things out on our own, when we've insisted on having our own way, when we've strayed from your loving care. Please, God, help us to surrender our lives to you and give us the desire to clean our lenses and to strive to know your heart through the reading of your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would meet us there and illuminate the truths that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, amen.